Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. On our Discord, we have started a play by post-adventure. Some of the characters are AI, some of them are real adventurers. Anyone is welcome to join. You just need to go to the thread and start posting. Here is one of the episodes of that play by post-adventure. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the adventure.
The feline moves closer to the first pool of tears, her emerald eyes drinking in the ripples of forgotten merriment. A soft purr escapes her throat as she reaches out a paw, her touch barely grazing the glowing surface. The images shift, revealing more details. Masks in every color, intricate attire, and the faint outline of a great throne. These pools are not just reflecting memories, but perhaps doorways. She looks back at the others, her gaze sharp with realization. The sorrow here is palpable, yet there's an undercurrent of celebration, as if something magnificent once dwelled within this realm.
Gronk approaches one of the pools cautiously, his senses on high alert for any signs of danger. The strange light and way shadows seem to reach for him make his battle-ready instincts twitch, but the feline's suggestion about the pools intrigues him. Maybe Misty's right. If these tears are gateways, we could find clues about what's been lost and why. He knells beside the pool, studying the ripples as they depict masked figures dancing and feasting under an unearthly twilight sky. These folks looked happy, but something's amiss. Their revelry's tainted by sorrow, longing. Gronk's voice is low, his brow furrowed in thought.
As you peer into the pool, the still surface ripples faintly, and the twilight-tinged reflection shifts. The grove as it exists fades away, replaced by a vision of the world before its fall. A vibrant, ethereal paradise bathed in the soft, golden light of a setting sun that once graced this realm. The willows stand tall and proud, their leaves aflame with vivid hues of gold, crimson, and emerald, as if autumn had taken form and danced across their branches. Blossoms of every imaginable color bloom amidst the mossy floor, their petals exuding a faint, magical glow. A gentle breeze carries the sounds of laughter and song, echoing with joy and celebration. In this vision, fey courtiers in resplendent attire glide through the grove. Their movements are elegant and deliberate, their garments catching the light with shimmering threads and intricate patterns. Beneath the trees, glowing sprites flit about, leaving trails of sparkling motes as they weave intricate patterns in the air. At the grove's center, a grand fountain of liquid starlight stands, its cascading waters forming glowing threads that shimmer like spun moonlight. Around it, the courtiers gather, their faces serene, their words full of purpose, though their meaning remains just out of reach. The beauty is staggering, perfect, and almost too much to bear. Yet, beneath it, there lingers a faint shadow, an unease that whispers this paradise was always fleeting, balanced on the edge of something inevitable.
Gronk's eyes widen as the pool reveals this vision of a world lost to time, a sense of awe and longing washing over him. He reaches out, as if to touch the golden light dancing in the leaves, before catching himself. By the gods! This was the court of shattered twilight, in all its former glory. He turns to the others, his voice laced with reverence. What cataclysm could have shattered such beauty? The Mercy Killer's zealotry seems small in comparison to this tragedy. He falls silent, his thoughts lost in the labyrinth of forgotten memories and the sorrow that still clings to the grove like a mournful ghost. We've got to know more.
I go in and search the room.
As the Mercy Killer's guard says, it looks like an older warehouse used for storage, but Tin sees that things have been recently used in there. Some of the dust appears disturbed in various places, and some newer bottles appear haphazardly strewn around. A foil wrapper for the Infinite Sustenance protein bar is found among the discarded detritus. There appears to be several hallways and a ladder heading down to a cellar or basement.
Tin tells the guard seems we have some others here. Let's split up and have a look around. I motion to the guards to take the hallways, and I'll descend the ladder into the depths below.
The lead guard nods, a subtle smirk playing on his lips. As you wish, investigator. We'll take the upper levels, and you can descend into the darkness. Just be careful not to trip on anything down there. The guards move off, their footsteps echoing in the warehouse as they disappear into the various hallways, leaving Tin to his solitary descent into the unknown basement.
Tin enters the forest and calls out behind him. Hello? I'm going to move deeper within towards the castle.
Upon hearing Tin's voice call from the depths of the forest, the lead guard's eyes widen in realization. A plan begins to form in his mind, one that could ensure the Mercy Killer's reputation for swift justice while eliminating a potential rival investigator Dottie. Investigator, if you're to venture deeper into the forest, you'll want to be cautious. Strange happenings have been reported in these woods, and we wouldn't want you to disappear. Without hesitation, the guard approaches the oaken door and slams it shut with a resounding thud. The ancient wood seems to sigh in relief as it settles, sealing Tin Lucre on the forest side with an audible click of the mechanism. There, that should keep him occupied. He turns to his fellow guard with a confident smirk, satisfied with their ruse. It seems the investigator got lost in the woods. We'll inform the factal of this development. No need to alert anyone else just yet. We'll handle the situation discreetly. With that, the guards begin their search of the warehouse, determined to uncover any leads that might further their cause in Sigil's underbelly.
Gronk, Serafina, Mistweaver, and company hear Tin yelling in the forest behind them.
Gronk pauses, his instincts telling him something is amiss. He turns to look back toward the sound of Tin's voice, his eyes narrowing suspiciously. That's Tin Lucre, the investigator who was helping with the Gronk situation. He looks at the others, concern etched on his face. Sounds like he's in trouble. With a deep breath, he sets off toward Tin's voice, his battle axe at the ready. Keep alert and let's see what's got him shouting like that. Gronk moves quickly, his keen senses scanning for any signs of danger in the twilight forest.
Noku trails along behind Gronk. He's been quiet for some time, trying to follow the path the group had taken from the warehouse, and growing ever more concerned. Sigil is not the kind of place from whence you want to get lost. The portals can lead anywhere with no guarantee that they will ever take you back to the city of origin. He slips through the trees, allowing Gronk to take away attention as they approach the voice of Tin.
As Gronk and Noku approach, they hear Tin shouting again, this time more urgently. Investigator Lucre, what's the trouble, mate? Gronk calls out, his axe still at the ready, scanning the surrounding foliage for signs of an attacker. We're here to help if we can. Yeah.
The feline's ears prick up, her senses on high alert as she follows Gronk and Noku. When Tin's voice grows more frantic, she slows her pace, her eyes scanning the trees for any sign of danger. SSS. Let us proceed cautiously, friends. The investigator's distress could mean more than just a simple misunderstanding. She glances at Gronk, then back to the path ahead, her tail flicking anxiously. We must be prepared for the unexpected. Mistweaver pads forward, her emerald eyes flickering in the perpetual twilight. The forest holds many secrets, and not all of them are friendly.
I'm here on behalf of the Mercy Killers. We seek justice and someone has made a claim against you. I've no idea where we are, but you'll have to come with me and explain yourself to the others. Tin says to Gronk, come along.
Gronk's expression hardens, his half-orc instincts telling him to resist and fight. But something about Tin's words sets him on edge, making him hesitant. Mercy killers, eh? Wanting justice, they say. He eyes Tin warily, his axe still at the ready. I ain't done nothing wrong, but I've got a funny feeling about this whole situation. Gronk looks around, taking in the surreal landscape of the twilight forest. How are we supposed to get back to Sigil from here? Even if I do go willingly. You ain't giving me many options, investigator. He shifts slightly, positioning himself between Tin and Noku, ready to defend himself if necessary. You'll have to do better than that if you want me to walk into Mercy Killer's clutches so easily.
Tin looks around, lowering his weapon, and asks, you don't know the way out of here. If we stick together, maybe we can find a way out.
The sage's gaze drifts back to the oaken door, the portal to the warehouse now inaccessible. She turns to face Tin, her expression a mix of concern and curiosity. I must admit, Investigator, I'm perplexed by the timing of this development. Tin, your appearance amidst our exploration of the Court of Shattered Twilight raises many questions. She steps closer, her lavender eyes piercing through the twilight. Perhaps it would be best for you to share more about the claim against Gronk and the Mercy Killer's involvement, as well as your own role in this matter. Clarity is essential for navigating these complex circumstances.
Azrael eyes Tin cautiously, as he considers the situation. It does seem odd you were here on behalf of the Mercy Killers. See, that portal was left open when we entered, which means it should have remained open when you came as well. Since it's not, that tells me someone closed it, who was with you when you entered. I believe they may be trying to get rid of you, friend.
Tin considers his situation, then sneers, showing off his pointy teeth, and lets out a hard sniff from his scaly nostril. Can't be helped. I guess we're stuck together. Tin puts his blade away. Promise me you'll help me bring those miserable bastards to justice, and I'll help you out of here.
Gronk's brow furrows as he studies Tin, trying to gauge the sincerity behind the investigator's words. The half-orc's instincts are still screaming caution, but the prospect of escaping the strange forest and getting back to Sigil weighs heavily on his mind. A deal, then? We help you with whatever Mercy Killer's beef you've got, and you help us get out of this mad forest and back to the City of Doors. He looks at the others, seeking their agreement before nodding to Tin. Aye, partnership forged. But we do things my way from now on. No more getting ambushed or blindsided. Gronk hefts his axe, his grip firm and resolute. Let's get moving, before whatever shadows are lurking here decide to make an appearance.
Tin follows with a nod. You'll see justice, but not at my hand, he thinks. Besides, maybe treasure can offset the losses from this job. Tin keeps close to the group and stops only to remove the Mercy Killer symbol from his sash and tuck it away into his pack.
Noku walks over to the door to verify that it is in fact shut fast, and we can't use it to get back to Sigil. After doing so, he approaches the group, not that the tensions have dissolved. We're definitely in some kind of a fey place. Crazy forest, portals and mystery. Couldn't be anywhere else. Anyone know a reliable way to navigate the Feywild?
Tin has been a mercenary for years. He has been all over. He may not know this place exactly, but he does know how to follow a road. Let's head towards the castle. Only place in sight that looks civilized. If there's a village along the way, we can ask questions there, but for now, the castle is my vote. Tin stands at the head of the roadway, ready to lead the way towards the castle, and waiting for others' input.
Azrael smiles a sinister smile as Tin finishes speaking. Decision has already been made, friend. We're trying to find out what's going on in Sigil, and we've all agreed that information might be found in the forest. That's what we were attempting when we heard you, and that is where we will continue, unless the rest of you have changed your minds.
Gronk's gaze drifts back to the forest, his attention now fully on the mystery at hand and the strange allure of the Twilight Realm. His initial concern for Sigil fades, replaced by a growing curiosity and the thrill of the unknown adventure. He sheaths his axe with a casual air. You know what, Seraphina, Azrael? The City of Doors can wait. Right now, I'm more interested in figuring out what the heck happened here and why some half-orc got dragged into it. He turns to Tin, a hint of mischief glinting in his eyes. Besides, we've got a new partner in crime here, don't we?
Seraphina's gaze lingers on Gronk for a moment, a mix of understanding and concern swirling in her lavender eyes. She knows the allure of adventure and mystery, especially one that seems to involve her companions so deeply. However, she also recognizes the potential for this to be a distraction from their original goal. Friends, while I appreciate the intrigue of the Court of Shattered Twilight, we cannot lose sight of our primary objective, uncovering the forces threatening Sigil. She looks at Tin, her tone measured and inquiring. Investigator, if you truly believe a connection exists between these events and the Mercy Killer's actions.
Tin looks confused as to how he's become the de facto leader of a group he came to possibly arrest. He shrugs it off as some cosmic grand conspiracy. Let's head into the wood then, he barks. I'm shit at knowing my way around a forest, but if you say that's where answers lie, let's go.
Gronk nods, a grin spreading across his face as he slings his axe over his shoulder and falls into step beside Tin. Aye, investigator, lead the way, and keep those Mercy Killer ears open for any whispers of what really happened here. He glances at the others, his eyes twinkling with excitement. And who knows, maybe we'll find some treasure hidden in the twisted roots of this forsaken place. After all, it's not every day you get to explore a fallen court of Fae, right? Gronk's laughter echoes through the twilight forest as the unlikely group sets off toward the castle, their fates now intertwined in this strange and mystical realm.
As the group begins their trek, Mistweaver keeps a watchful eye on the surroundings, her feline senses heightened and attuned to even the faintest changes in the environment. Her emerald eyes dart between the trees, taking in every detail as she weaves between the members, ready to pounce if danger lurks nearby. SSS. Let us proceed with caution, friends. The forest has a way of revealing its secrets, only to those who respect its ancient magic. Her gaze meets Gronk's, a shared understanding passing between them. This journey into the unknown is one that will test their bonds and their wits, but also perhaps unlock the mysteries that threaten the City of Doors.
Entryway puzzle as the players step out of the grove. The path begins to change. The mossy ground gives way to cobblestones of deep obsidian, each stone etched with faint, glowing runes that pulse gently as if alive. The twilight deepens as the towering silhouette of the castle looms closer, its fractured spires piercing the ever-shifting sky like jagged shards of glass. A soft, melancholic melody drifts through the air, growing louder with each step, pulling them forward like an unspoken call. The castle's walls, a blend of black stone and reflective glass, seem almost liquid as they catch the faint light. As the players draw nearer, they notice the reflections are not their own. Instead, the glass shows flickering visions of the court's former glory. Fey figures in shimmering attire move through elegant halls, their laughter faint yet haunting. The sense of a time long past weighs heavily in the air, mingling with an unshakable feeling of being watched. When they reach the massive double doors of the castle, the players find them sealed shut, their surface smooth and unyielding. In place of a handle or keyhole, the doors bear a complex, glowing pattern of intertwined circles, stars, and crescents. Beneath the pattern, an inscription written in Sylvan reads, "Light and shadow, joy and sorrow, the eternal balance must be known. Unveil the truth, and the path shall be shown." At the base of the doors lies a small pedestal of obsidian, upon which rests a triangular mirror-like shard and a glowing orb. One radiating golden light, and the other emitting a soft silver glow. The pedestal itself has three shallow indentations shaped like triangles, clearly designed to hold more shards.
Gronk inspects the pedestal and shards, a puzzled furrow creasing his brow. Well, this ain't exactly what I had in mind for a welcome mat. Looks like we got us a puzzle to solve before we can get inside. He examines each shard, comparing the golden and silver hues, trying to decipher any pattern or symbolism. Anyone got any ideas on how to figure this out? These fey folks seem to like their riddles. Maybe we need to arrange these in some specific pattern or combine them somehow. Or maybe they represent different aspects that need to be balanced?
The sage steps closer to the pedestal, her eyes narrowing as she studies the intricate patterns etched into the doors. This inscription speaks to the harmony of opposing forces, Gronk Dagdite. It implies that to access the castle, we must understand and incorporate this balance into our solution. She turns to the others, a hint of excitement in her voice. I believe the triangular shards may represent the very elements we need to bring into harmony, a balance of light, shadow, joy, and sorrow. Perhaps we should arrange them according to the celestial bodies depicted on the door's surface, with the golden shard symbolizing the sun and the silver, the moon.
Tin looks to the symbols and tries to arrange them in a way that makes sense to him.
Azrael stares at the puzzle, thinking hard. Then he moves to the mirror and attempts to move it. If it moves, he will continue to direct it until it catches the golden light from the orb, in order to try and reflect it into one of the triangular bases on the ground.
The first triangle on the ground lights up. Then the golden orb goes dark.
Azrael grins and tries to repeat the process to reflect the silver light into whatever triangle it fits to, in hopes since the golden orb is now out, it won't take the light from the triangle on the floor. Azrael stands puzzling over the fact the mirror trick did not work for the other orb. Shadow and light, joy and sorrow. One of the orbs has to be triggered by darkness. The golden orb has to represent the joy and the light. Anyone else have any ideas how to incorporate those into this puzzle? He looks to the others, but an idea crosses his mind, and he stoops once more to try it as the group talks things over. Azrael moves the mirror in a way to either direct its light away from the other triangles or block it completely so it no longer shows.
One of the pedestals begins to light up momentarily as you block out the light, but then dims again. As the shadow of the mirror touches the pedestal, it begins to light up, but doesn't light up completely. Azrael is now just standing above the pedestal, holding the mirror backwards to block the silver orb's light, not moving, unsure how to proceed.
Seraphina considers the celestial imagery on the door, musing aloud. Perhaps the solution lies in a metaphorical dance of light and shadow, rather than a purely literal one. If we understand the deeper symbolism, we may find our key. Her gaze drifts to the shifting twilight sky above, searching for inspiration in the ever-changing hues of the heavens. Might we arrange the shards to mimic a celestial pattern, reflecting the harmony of night and day? Or perhaps the positions represent aspects of a more emotional or spiritual balance, the golden light of joy balanced against the silver sorrow, and the shadow's mystery woven in between.
As Seraphina looks into the door, she finds the reflections reveal three scenes, a vision of a joyous festival with laughter and music filling the air. The reflections show a radiant Fae holding a triangular shard glowing gold, their expression alight with happiness. A somber moment of mourning, with Fae figures gathered beneath the willows, their faces heavy with sorrow. A silver shard gleams faintly in the hands of one mourner. The third vision is fragmented, showing a masked figure standing alone by the fountain, their triangular shard shattered into pieces.
Gronk's eyes widen as he watches the shifting reflections, a sense of clarity dawning upon him. I think I understand what Seraphina's getting at. These visions represent stages of a cycle, joy, sorrow, and maybe something in between. The shattered shard could signify a broken balance or an imbalance that needs to be restored. He looks at the others, his expression determined. Let's arrange the shards like a triangle, with the golden one representing joy at the top, the silver one for sorrow at the bottom, and the remaining piece, the middle shard, to represent that in-between state. That way, we've got balance and harmony in our setup, just like the door's inscription said. Gronk goes over the bases of the triangles and are unable to move them. He looks on confused.
Seraphina studies the reflections more intently, her expression thoughtful. In the third vision, the masked figure stands before the shattered shard. Could this represent a crucial missing piece of the puzzle? A piece that must be found or restored to complete the cycle of balance? She turns to the group, her tone urgent. If we can locate the shattered shard and place it in its rightful position, we may unlock the door's secrets. Gronk, can you attempt to follow the trail of the fragmented reflection, perhaps tracing it back to the location where it broke? We might need to search the grove or the castle itself to find it.
Gronk, please make an investigation roll.
Gronk scours the grove and the immediate castle grounds, his half-orc senses alert for any sign of the missing shard. With a roll of 16, 3 for his investigation skill, day 2 for perception, ET2, due to being in the environment he was previously investigating, he discovers a small hidden alcove in the castle wall, concealed by a tapestry that depicts a fae couple dancing. Inside, the alcove contains a faint, pulsing glow, and upon closer inspection, Gronk finds the shattered shard of obsidian, its pieces reflecting the starlight filtering through the castle windows. Found it! He calls out triumphantly, holding the reassembled shard aloft.
Surprising the group, Gronk does reassemble the shattered shard and places it in the third dais. The third alcove lights up, leaving only the middle one.
Gronk ponders for a moment, then grins and reaches for the silver orb. I reckon I know how to finish this now. He carefully places the orb in the unlit middle pedestal, completing the triangular formation. There, we are. Celestial balance achieved, or at least as well as we can manage. Gronk pauses, expecting the door to open or the middle spot to light up, but it doesn't. He continues to wait expectingly for the door to open, saying, any second now. He waits for a long time. Gronk waits, but as the moments tick by with no response, Frustration begins to mount. He stamps a foot impatiently and glances at the others, his expression a mix of puzzlement and annoyance. What's taking so long? I'm sure I got it right. He tries shifting the shards again, then leans in to study the door's glowing patterns more closely, as if expecting a hidden trigger to reveal itself.
Azrael moves back to the mirror and moves it until its shadow aligns with the pedestal. The runes on the cobblestones beneath their feet flare brightly, and the double doors slowly part, revealing the darkened halls of the castle within.
Mistweaver's ears perk up as the doors open, and she steps forward, her emerald eyes glowing with feline curiosity. At last, the mystery begins to unravel. She pads ahead, her tail held high, as if sensing the secrets waiting to be uncovered within the castle's shadowed depths.
Inside the castle, the massive double doors part with a low, resonant groan, revealing the castle's shadowed interior. The air within is cool and heavy, carrying the faint scent of ancient stone and something sweeter, like faded lavender. The faint melody heard outside grows louder, echoing through the vast empty halls, but no visible source for the sound can be found. The entry hall is grand but eerily quiet. Black marble floors polished to a mirror, finished reflect the faint twilight filtering in through shattered windows high above. Massive columns of twisted obsidian rise to a vaulted ceiling, where broken chandeliers hang, their crystals glowing faintly like dying stars. At the center of the room, a circular dais holds a broken throne made of glass and black iron. The throne seems almost to hum with an imperceptible energy, faint wisps of light swirling around its jagged edges. On the walls, tattered banners, bearing an unfamiliar sigil, hang limply, their colors faded to near obscurity. As the players step further in, the castle seems to awaken. Flickering lights appear along the edges of the hall, forming faint outlines of figures that move as if carrying out the motions of a long-forgotten court. Their forms are indistinct, like memories struggling to take shape, and they vanish as quickly as they appear. A set of three archways leads deeper into the castle, each marked by an engraving above its frame: memory, shadow, and truth. The faint hum of magic emanates from each path, beckoning the players forward. The choice is theirs, but the sense of being watched, judged, remains ever-present, a silent reminder of the castle's living, ancient nature.
Gronk's eyes wander over the opulent, yet decaying interior, his battle-ready stance relaxing slightly in the face of the castle's more eerie than threatening atmosphere. So which way do we dip in, then? I'm game for whatever mystery lies within, as long as it's not more puzzles. He looks at the others, a hint of mischief dancing in his eyes. Unless someone wants to challenge me to a game of spot the hidden trap, I bet I'd win. Gronk winks, trying to lighten the mood as they stand at the crossroads, the weight of the castle's secrets pressing in from all sides. Let's get moving, friends.
Azrael smiles, laughing lightly at the good-natured half-orc. I appreciate your enthusiasm, Gronk, but I believe another vote is in order. Mine is for truth. If we find the truth of what happened here, it might better prepare us for what we might face within memory and shadow. I have no doubt we'll need to venture down all to try and make it out of here.
Gronk chuckles, nodding in agreement. You're right, Azrael. Truth first, then we'll see where memory and shadow lead. He falls into step beside Tin, his gaze scanning the archways for any signs of hidden dangers. Remember, investigator, we've got your back. Stick close, and keep those keen eyes of yours peeled for traps and tricks. Gronk reaches back, adjusting the strap of his axe as he prepares to face whatever lies ahead. Onward, then.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.